Steven Gostkowski trots onto the field, he can erase the nightmare of a game that it is for him with four missed kicks by just hitting this one. A chippy from 25. On the way. And splits the uprights like he's been doing it all night.
Steven Gostkowski with the game-winning field goal after missing three field goals and an extra point last night. He totally redeemed himself. He was an outstanding Pro Bowl kicker for the New England Patriots and let go by the Patriots before last season on the Titans. And last night, he missed a 47-yarder, 44-yarder, 42-yarder, and then botched an extra point and missed it about 8, 10 feet to the left. So that missed extra point was a difference in the game. 14-13, his team's down in Denver Monday Night Football last night. But guess what? He came through with the 25-yarder. And the Titans beat the Broncos 16-14. So every team in AFC West wins except the Broncos. Chiefs fans probably not too torn up about that. Bronco fans out there going, yeah, thanks for reminding us. So the Titans get the win. Also last night, Ben Roethlisberger made his debut and comeback. He missed all of last season with torn ligaments in his elbow. And not a bad performance last night for Big Ben and the Steelers as Pittsburgh beat the Giants 26-16. Roethlisberger 21-32 for 229 yards. And three touchdown passes in the ball game as the Steelers could be one of those teams that could be a contender if Roethlisberger is healthy. Certainly that would mean that they could maybe, if you're a Chiefs fan, you got to like that the Steelers could be a lot better than last year because that could allow the Steelers and allow the Chiefs to get home field advantage. Remember, there are seven playoff teams in each conference this year, the expanded playoffs, so only one team will get a first round bye. Only one team will get home field advantage throughout the playoffs in AFC and NFC. So if you're a Chiefs fan, you want a number one seed and you don't want to have to go to Baltimore during the playoffs, then it helps you that the Steelers are better. So maybe the Steelers can knock off the Ravens once, maybe twice. And, of course, then you could see the Steelers in the playoffs. I know that's possible, too. But something to think about if you're a Chiefs fan. Speaking of the Chiefs, they've been bringing in some offensive linemen, trying to add some depth to their line in regards to either practice squad or a backup swing tackle because nobody on the practice squad has a lot of experience playing tackle. So they've been bringing in a few guys that were cut at the end of the, I would say preseason, but there really was no preseason games, but training camp from some other squads. The Chiefs are taking some looks at some younger offensive linemen to provide a little versatility and depth on the offensive line. So the Chiefs always looking to improve. Local sports information to pass along to you. Tennis, the Beloit Trojan tennis team was at the Chapman Quad Wrangler and did very well. Number one singles, Lene Knight went 2-1, second place. Number two singles, Cameron Seidner, 3-0, first place. The number one doubles team, O'Reilly Hess and Tatum Tejens Porter went 2-1 and got second place. And the doubles team, number two doubles team of Addison Emmett, Ashley Knight, also was second place, went 2-1. So everybody finished first or second at that quad involving Beloit, Chapman, Wamigo, and Wabunzi. They're in Chapman yesterday. Full results there are posted at ncksports.com along with the Wamigo Cross Country Invitational results from recently as well. Plus, our broadcast schedule is posted there at ncksports.com. Tonight, live video stream, Beloit at Minneapolis High School Volleyball. Varsity matches at 5, and then JV match after that. Then another varsity match around 7 o'clock, Beloit at Minneapolis live video stream at the Beloit Trojan Channel via ncksports.com. Then junior high football Thursday, Beloit at Sacred Heart at 5 o'clock with a live video stream. Friday, Concordia at Beloit. We'll have that on the radio on Katie Country 94, katiecountry94.com, and our live video stream at ncksports.com via the Beloit Trojan Channel. And we hope to have Beloit High School Volleyball at the Republic County Tournament in Belleville coming up on the Saturday, September the 19th as well. Our football schedule for Friday, Football Express, brought to you by Cunningham Telephone Cable, kicks it off at 5:40, 6:30. We mentioned Concordia at Beloit on Katy Country 94. Lakeside at Osborne, so we've got two really good rivalry games. Lakeside at Osborne should be an entertaining game on Z96.3 Lake and KatyCountry94.com. And then we'll conclude our coverage at 10:05 on Friday, week three of the high school football season with the Katy Country 94 local high school scoreboard show brought to you by State Farm Insurance with agents in Beloit and in Osborne. Don't forget our high school football locker room chats tomorrow night, 5:15. We'll talk to Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge coaches. That'll be tomorrow night on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. And then Thursday, St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas. If you miss any of those locker room chats, they're posted later on that particular day on our podcast center there at KD Country 94. The Big Ten Conference may have football. They have not had a vote yet. What's taking them so long, I don't quite know. But the Big Ten Conference, it sounds like, according to various reports, and trust me, we know that these reports from the media have been wrong before when it comes to the Big Ten and what they're going to do. The Big Ten is shooting for October 17th. Now, how that works for a college football playoff when you play eight or nine games, have a game or two less than, say, the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC, I don't know how it's all going to work. But it sounds like October 17th is the latest that they could start and still maybe have teams eligible for the college football playoffs. So time will tell on that. Big Ten has not officially made any vote, but we have heard through the grapevine that if the Big Ten chooses to go back to football, it will not be a school-by-school decision. They'll have a vote, and hopefully a unanimous vote, but there'll be a vote, and everybody's going to play. It's not going to be this, hey, I'm going to play, but, well, I'm not going to play, but we're going to play, but they're not going to play. No, everybody's going to play, according to reports. If the Big Ten decides to play, everybody's playing. So we'll see. Pac-12 now suddenly talking about a possible November return for college football, which I don't know how that even works out, because then I don't see how you're even possibly eligible to college football playoff. I don't quite get what the Pac-12 accomplishes with a November return to football other than giving kids an opportunity to play football, but you wouldn't be eligible for the playoff, I highly would doubt. But that's the most regressive return plan around mid to late November for the Pac-12. They originally said they cannot play fall sports until spring of 2021, but it explained that it did not believe the league could acquire adequate testing until November. But the Pac-12 has entered an agreement with a private company to conduct daily rapid testing of its athletes beginning late September, so their ideal start play timeline has been moved up. But once again, you're not going to be eligible for the college football playoff if you play football beginning in mid-November. And that's why the Big Ten is shooting for mid-October, October 17th. They can get eight or nine games in, and the Big Ten would be eligible for the college football playoff. So, you know, hey, if you're the Big Ten, you still got time to make it happen. October 17th is a month away. Yeah. Teams have still been practicing, you know, about limited 12 hours a week. They haven't given up on the season. That was a good move on their part. The Big Ten will take a vote at some point. Don't know when exactly. And I think the Big Ten will be a part of this.
Yeah.
A little late to the party, but they'll still be allowed to enter the party.
Yeah, just get enough games in there to make it plausible, make it work, and not have people mad at you.
Well, if they get eight or nine in, yeah, you know, you look at the Big 12, yeah. You got 10.
Yeah.
So, and the non-con doesn't really matter much unless you lost it. So you're basically one game behind, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you can get all those games in and start at that point.
You just don't have no non-cons. You just go straight in the league schedule for Big 10.
For sure.
So if you have nine league games, the Big 12 have nine conference games, then you're caught up.
Definitely.
So, yeah, as if the Big 12 is going to make the playoff the way this is going. The
Sun Belt's in better position
than
the Big 12, aren't they?
Yeah, except for maybe Oklahoma.
OU.
There
Texas,
is Oklahoma.
I guess, if they would somehow actually come back.
Yeah. There's Oklahoma where, you know, you get to the playoff and give up 1,000 points, but we at least, you know, have a representative of the Big 12. I know people are kind of tired of that. The Royals go for lucky win number 7 in a row in Detroit tonight. Danny Duffy on the hill, 3-3, ERA of 4.24. Last start, 5 2/3, shutout ball against the Indians. The Royals rotation last time through the rotation, giving up, 0.8 runs per game. Their rotation the last 5 starts. It's pretty good.
That'll win six games in a row.
That helps you win. Isn't it amazing when your pitching is good, you got a chance to win? It just goes hand in hand. Like, you can have bad offense, but if your pitching's really good, you always have a chance to win.
Yeah.
And the Royals certainly have been playing much better. The rotation's been good. The bullpen's been good. The Royals are starting to hit the ball. And they've won 6 in a row. And you can't sit here and say they can't make the playoffs. There's still a chance that they keep rolling here.
Absolutely.
And they got the Tigers for a couple of games. And Tigers aren't playing good ball right now. A guy on the hill tonight who's got ERA of 7.63. And Matthew Boyd, a record of 1-6. And now watch, that'll be the guy that shuts down the Royals. Yes. The worst thing having the Royals was having an off day yesterday, probably.
Yeah.
So the Royals go for win number 7 in a row in Detroit. And if they win tonight, then they would jump the Tigers in the standings. And wouldn't be in the cellar anymore in AL Central. So good to know there. Let's see. Game 7 of the NBA playoffs, the Clippers and the Nuggets, is tonight. You know, I expect the Clippers to win. They should win, but nothing would surprise me because the Nuggets are just a team that just doesn't die. And the Nuggets came back from a 3-1 deficit early in the playoffs, beat the Jazz, and now they have a chance to come back from a 3-1 deficit. All the pressure is on the Clippers. You know, this is very similar to just a week or so ago when we had the Rockets and the Thunder. to me, it's a very similar situation. The Nuggets certainly are talented, and they thought they could be in this position, but the national landscape was that the Nuggets are the underdog, and the Clippers are the heavy, heavy favorite. And put me in that category. I picked the Clippers for the year to win it all. I've said it all through the playoffs. They're going to figure it out. And when they're up 3-1 on Nuggets, I thought they had figured it out. And then they've blown a 15-point lead and a 19-point lead the last two games. So if you're watching this game tonight, game 7, 8 o'clock, Nuggets-Clippers on ESPN, and the Clippers are up 15 or 20 in the third quarter, you would be a fool to turn the channel. You need to watch it all the way through because the Nuggets have proven with Jamal Murray and Jokic and others that they can come back against the Clippers, who you wouldn't think they could because the Clippers are usually a very good defensive team. So the Clippers have never in their franchise history made the Western Conference Finals. They're going to try to change that tonight. But much like the Rockets and Thunder, the Thunder were the underdog. They had nothing to lose. And the Rockets had everything to lose. And the narrative during offseason was going to be, oh, my gosh, the Rockets lost to the team they traded Chris Paul to and got Russell Westbrook. Well, the Rockets got very fortunate. The Thunder didn't execute down the stretch in the final three or four possessions. And the Rockets, it was like really a sigh of relief. You could tell when James Harden was interviewed after that game. Whew, we moved on to take on the Lakers. Of course, they got smoked by the Lakers, as we predicted. And now their coach has decided, I'm done with this team, which I don't blame him, Mike D'Antoni. And now the Rockets looking for a new head coach. I don't know if the Rockets going to blow it up. Obviously, the Westbrook-Harden thing didn't work out. Shocker there. And they went small and got rid of Capella, which is one guy that could have done. They were actually winning a lot of games, and Westbrook and Capella had some chemistry on the floor because we know what Westbrook did with Steven Adams, Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. They really worked well off each other, and Capella got traded. I never did understand that trade either. That one was really
not
the one that floored
a little
me.
Bit.
It's like, well, we're going completely small. So let's get back to the point of the story. So the Rockets had everything to lose, and the Thunder had everything to gain. That's the same thing tonight. If the Nuggets lose, it'll be like, hey, Nuggets are coming, baby. The Nuggets are coming. They're going to be good again next year. Jokic and Murray are 24. Porter's like 23. They got the young nucleus. And then Bol Bol might be ready to play next year. I mean, this Nugget team is really going to be tough. And they're just not quite ready tonight. That'll be the narrative if the Nuggets lose. It's like, no big deal. The Nuggets will be fine. If the Clippers win, they're expected to win. If the Clippers lose, the narrative is going to be Paul George didn't come through, even if he does score a lot of points tonight. The Clippers' major failure, it was championship win or bust. Doc Rivers did a horrible job, blew a 3-1 lead. I could go on and on. Clippers had a deeper team, but Doc played the wrong guys. Maybe there's even be a scenario where Kawhi doesn't play well tonight, and suddenly Kawhi will catch some heat, although I think he's earned enough of a free pass for a while. Paul George has a lot of pressure on himself tonight. PG3, playoff P, which is funny, because he hasn't been great in the playoffs, although the last few games not so bad. Paul George has to play well tonight, and even if he does, that doesn't mean the Clippers are going to win. The Clippers have all the pressure in the world. It's supposed to be Lakers-Clippers. Everybody automatically penciled or put them in permanent marker in the Western Conference Finals. If there was a home court advantage and it was in L.A., would the Clippers win this game? You would lean towards probably more so, but there's no guarantee of that. The Nuggets trying to come back from a 3-1 deficit for the second time in the playoffs. They'd be the 13th team in NBA history to do that, but they'd also be the 12th and 13th team because they just did it against the Jazz. Clippers, Nuggets tonight. Who's winning?
I'm going to pick the Clippers.
You're going to stay on that? You're going to stick with the Clippers? I'm going to stay on it with it, too.
I
would not
like
be surprised at all if the Nuggets win
not
tonight.
Even a little bit.
No. If this game's tight down the stretch, you're going to – if I'm the Clippers, you're going to Kawhi. You ain't going to George.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You're going to Kawhi, and Kawhi better not pass it. So we're going Clippers?
Yeah.
Sticking with it? You know that the Clippers might get a few calls tonight if you believe in the fix is in a little bit.
Yeah, if you believe in what the NBA wants to be happening.
They've already lost enough money.
Yes.
They've already lost money. This is too big of a deal. The Heat and the Celtics at 5:39 on ESPN, first game of the Eastern Conference Finals. Who you like there, Heat or Celtics?
That's tough. The Heat have been playing so good.
I know. Like, I'm taking the Celtics in seven.
I think I'm going to do the same. Because I feel like the Celtics are better, but the Heat are just playing.
Yeah.
They've lost one game in the playoffs. And it's like, man, how do you pick against that? But the Celtics, I think, are more balanced and just a better team overall.
I agree with you. I'll take the Celtics, but Butler, you know, has a great series, and obviously the Heat got a really good chance. I'll take Celtics in seven, and then we got Clippers Nuggets. We'll determine the pick for the Clippers or Nuggets versus the Lakers tomorrow, I guess.
Yes.
I just thought it was automatically be Clippers-Lakers. It might not be. That's why they play the games. NHL playoffs, well, the Dallas Stars are going to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Spreads it out wide left. Rope hits up high for Klingberg. Fake the shot. One time, Gurionov! He scores! Denis Gurionov! The Stars win game five! They win the series! They win the West! And the Dallas Stars are headed to the Stanley Cup Final!
Yep, there you go. Dallas going to Stanley Cup Finals. They beat the Golden Knights of Vegas last night in overtime, 3-2. They win the series 4-1. They'll play either the Islanders or the Lightning. The Lightning up 3-1. Chance to close out that series tonight at 7 o'clock on NBC Sports Network. We told you earlier, Beloit Volleyball live video stream at nckssports.com. Be the Beloit Trojan channel. There's also volleyball across North Central Kansas. Dusty has the schedule.
Yeah, some trianglers going on in the Northern Plains League tonight. Thunder Ridge is hosting St. John's Tipton and Pike Valley. Also, Lakeside is at home against Chase and Lincoln. Osborne hosting Sylvan Lucas and Natoma tonight. And Rock Hills at Tescott. Southern Cloud also part of that one. And in the Mid-Continent League, Smith Center is at Norton tonight. Oakley also part of that one in the MCL. So that's the schedule. The full schedule, if you ever want to know it, is always posted at nckssports.com.
Okay, so the NFL week one is in the books. And if you're wondering about, what would you say is the biggest surprise from week one? What's the biggest surprise?
Oh, man.
For me, it's the Washington football team beating the Eagles down 17-0. That's the biggest surprise for me.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised the Cardinals beat the 49ers. I know some people are.
Maybe a little bit of, like, how smooth Cam looked with the Patriots for not being there very long.
Mm-hmm. 15 you know, carries, 75 yards.
And really just how smooth that team looked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know it was just a 10-point win over the Dolphins. They didn't score a lot of points, but I was a little bit impressed with how that went for the Patriots. Just, I mean, it felt like it was with relative ease, honestly. But this, we're going to find out a lot about Bill Belichick this year, and we're going to find out a lot about Tom Brady this year without Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
and you know, I think
they'll both be fine.
I do too, and but it's just fun, I think, to see the Patriots do something different too, because that was not the same Patriots offense even a little bit.
No,
and it is interesting to see them open things up and do some different things. As much as I don't like the Patriots, it was actually fun to watch that game.
Patriots have a great coaching staff. Remember, Matt Castle won 11 games with the Patriots. 11-5, and that got him a big deal with the Chiefs. And foolish of us and Scott Pioli to do that.
Yes.
But you remember, Bernard Pollard took out Brady first game of the year. And so I hear all this, well, can Belichick win without Brady? He's already proven that. Everybody forgets that year. I don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Patriots went 11-5 that year with Matt Castle, which is amazing. Didn't make the playoffs. Did not make the playoffs 11-5. Which is insane, and I think that's the last time they didn't win the division. So the Patriots are still going to be a factor. I have them still winning the division. I think the Bills are legit. It's just how Josh Allen protects the football. If he cuts down on these fumbles and turnovers, the Bills, I think, could unseat the Patriots. And, then, of course, if Cam gets hurt. Do you think Cam Newton could carry the ball 15 times every game and make it through?
I don't think so. Not typical, but you know, some of that is changing a little bit, but Cam's a little older than Lamar Jackson. You know, he's taking more hits on his body.
But he did have a year off, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Which team had the most impressive win of week one, in your opinion?
Oh, man. I put the Chiefs up there for a little bit, but I like the Cardinals win, too.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
I want to say the Saints, but, I mean, they just did what they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think Baltimore's pretty impressive. I mean, I know they were playing Cleveland, but I was pretty impressed by them. Yeah. You know, also the Packer offense was
pretty
impressive.
The Packers were going to be on my list, too. But yeah, the offense was really good.
Worst performance of week one. Worst.
The Colts?
Yes, I would agree. I would agree with that.
Losing to a team that's just basically looks
tanking.
Like they've given up.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Was it Gardner Minshew? Was 19 of 20.
Always watch Pat McAfee's stuff. So he's all Colts because, you know,
that.
And he's just losing his mind.
Oh, that was hilarious.
We lost to a team
that wasn't
was
even trying.
Giving up.
Yeah. They were, I was lied to.
Through two interceptions. I was lied to.
The Jags are trying. Yeah. Yeah. And I think the best individual performance over the weekend and week one you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had the best running back performance statistically, but to me, the best performance over the weekend was Russell Wilson. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was amazing. Don't get me wrong. Rodgers' numbers, 32 of 44 for 364 and four touches against a really good defense. Russell Wilson was 31 of 35 for 322 and four touchdowns, and he had two drops. He would have been 33 of 35. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And that's the pick I have at NFC. I got the Seahawks and Chiefs in the
Super
Bowl.
I'll tell you, somebody who flew under the radar, speaking of the Colts, was Minshew. He was
19 of 20
for
173.
One incompletion.
No turnovers.
And threw the touchdown passes and did what he needed to do.
Do you know that Gardner Minshew is completing 91% of his passes in season openers? Last year he came in relief of Nick Foles, and Foles got knocked out early in the game against the Chiefs. Remember that? And we're like, who's Gardner Minshew? And next thing you know, he's completed every single pass.
He's like 8 for 8 and finally had an incompletion. Didn't throw another incompletion in the rest of the game, I don't think.
No, I think he had one incomplete. I mean, he's 91% in season openers for Gardner Minshew. That's good stuff. Anyway, once again, the Steelers beat the Giants last night, 26-16. Tennessee, their kicker misses four kicks but hits the big one, 16-14.
Unreal.
That guy would have had to stay in Denver had he missed the 25-yard field goal at the end. Five kicks. Steven Gajkowski, who was an all-pro, Pro Bowl kicker with the Patriots. But once again, the Patriots always know when to cut bait with guys. They knew it was time for Brady. I mean, they didn't try super hard to keep him, I don't think.
Yeah, no.
And they knew he was Father Time's catching up with him, although I won't write Brady off with the Bucs. It's just one game. He's going to find some chemistry with Mike Evans and him. We're not on the same page at all. That'll get better with time.
No
they had
doubt.
No preseason. See, the Chiefs benefited because stability, most guys, same places, you know, same faces, whereas you got the Bucs. You know, you got Brady in a new system with a new head coach, and you got wide receivers, and you brought in a lot of new faces. Gronkowski, another one for the Bucs. They brought in Leonard Fournette. It's going to take some time. The Bucs, I think, will be just fine. I think they'll be just fine. Is Tom Brady going to throw for 5,000 yards? No, but they don't need him to.
No.
I don't think.